with the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Oh my goodness. The National Football League Draft, where the improbable becomes possible. Trey Lance, who started 17 college football games at the FCS level, is in tears as he walks from the green room and walks from Fargo, North Dakota, into the center of the football universe as the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft.
That is the moment the 49ers took quarterback Trey Lance out of North Dakota State at number 3 overall, making me wonder how it is that America got conned 4 weeks into thinking it would be Mac Jones instead. Today, Bill Barnwell breaks down how it is that Trey Lance is a Niner, and Mac Jones is a Patriot, and Justin Fields is a Bear, and Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer, at least for now. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, April 30th. This is ESPN Daily.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Bill Barnwell, it is 12:12 a.m. on Friday morning. The first round of the NFL draft is officially over, and I am going to be hearing the Kings of Leon in my sleep tonight. How about you?
I will be dreaming of spending more than 10 minutes in Roger Goodell's chair. That is the goal we all have.
Bill Barnwell hosts the Bill Barnwell Show podcast, and he is our first pick for every late night football chat. Yeah, we got a giant starring role from the cracked leather chair that was in Roger Goodell's basement during the Zoom draft last year. And basically, it got set up on stage so that all of these symbolic fans could sit on it for mere minutes at a time like they were sitting on Santa's lap.
I wondered, now I did not see this, but when there were trades, did they kick the person who was sitting in the chair out of the chair for a different team representative?
We need the all 22 on the convention floor. Absolutely.
Someone needs to grind the tape on Roger Goodell's chair.
So if you were to go back, Bill, and grind all the tape of how media people talked about this draft, I think you would go insane because we heard so much before seeing what the 49ers ultimately did with the number three pick tonight. That was not what they did with the number three pick tonight. Although Kyle Shanahan said tonight, Trey Lance was the guy all along, ever since they made that trade for number three in March, that it was so crazy to watch where all of the media speculation went. And that had some real big, we're all trying to find the guy who did this, like, hot dog suit energy. So what did the Niners drafting Trey Lance in the end, what did it look like to you?
Yeah, I must have misremembered the media telling the other media this past week at a press conference, someone suspiciously similar looking to Kyle Shanahan said that the Niners were considering five different quarterbacks with the third overall pick. But Pablo, that is now water under the bridge. And I love a good misdirection scheme, despite the fact that the Niners have spent most of the last month hinting they really love every quarterback equally or even preferred Mac Jones. They actually, in the long run, traded three first-round picks to try and get something worth an actual haul. But the 49ers drafted Trey Lance because they want someone who can compete with Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in football. Now, Lance may not turn out to be that guy. He probably won't be that guy in 2021. There's a chance he ends up sitting for most of this season. But Kyle Shanahan has not had a quarterback with this sort of upside since Robert Griffin. I mean, physically, Lance can do anything you want from a quarterback on the football field. If you were going to create a quarterback in Madden, you would create Trey Lance. He's big. He's mobile. He's athletic. He's capable of making just about any pass imaginable. The pre-draft comparisons for Lance at his best are to guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, where they look impossible to stop when they're on their game. Furthermore, you could make a case that Lance looked better than either quarterback during his first season of college football.
So Mahomes and Josh Allen, that is sure to get Niners fans salivating, but part of the unique thing about projecting Trey Lance as a pro, Bill, is that like the sum total of his college football experience was kind of unlike any other top quarterback prospect that we can remember, right?
You're right. Trey Lance's first season of college football was also really his last season of college football. Lance played at FCS level powerhouse North Dakota State, the same school, which you may remember, which sent Carson Wentz to the pros several years ago. He really only had one full year as a starting quarterback when he led the Bison to a Division I title as a redshirt freshman. That was in 2019. In 2020, with COVID raging and college football season shortened, Trey Lance only played one game, producing middling numbers against better competition before entering the draft. Now, we've seen quarterbacks enter the draft after 1 year as a college starter, guys like Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, and more recently, Mac Jones. But those guys went straight from their successful seasons as a starter to the pros, and they were doing it while playing at the highest level of college football. Lance is more than a year removed from his meaningful reps, and that was at a lower tier of college football. Now, all that being said, it should tell you how exciting he is that he barely played in 2020 and he was playing in the college football equivalent of the minor leagues, and the Niners still made this move. Shanahan's been able to elevate good quarterbacks to play at a better level. He's managed to coax an MVP season out of Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Landing in San Francisco gives Lance a great shot at reaching his ceiling and gives the 49ers their best shot at building a dynasty.
But hold on, before I get gaslit into forgetting all of the secrecy, the smoke screens, the smoke bombs, the source servicing, the misdirections, what did you make of all of that, Bill?
I don't think I can recall an NFL team just being as straight up weird as the Niners were about this pick. I mean, first, they make this deal and they immediately insist that they're expecting to hold on to Garoppolo for the 2021 season. Weeks of rumors about Mac Jones ensue. Yes. The Niners hold a bizarre, unnecessary press conference days before the draft where Kyle Shanahan insists he feels good about taking one of five different quarterbacks with the third overall pick.
There were five guys that we thought we felt that we'd be okay with taking. You know, we knew that there was three at the time exactly. That's why we thought three was a good spot to go to.
Not the sort of thing you typically say when you trade three first-round picks to get a passer. Next, when Shanahan is asked whether Garoppolo would be on the roster come Sunday, we saw a strangely nihilistic side of the Niners coach.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
And yet, Bill, an NFL coach dodging a very basic question by basically threatening the coming of Ragnarok, that did not rate as the most startling headline that we got this week, ultimately.
Yes, there was a coming apocalypse in San Francisco and apparently something even worse in Green Bay, because on Thursday afternoon, there were reports that the 49ers had contacted the Packers about possibly swapping the third overall pick as part of a package to acquire Aaron Rodgers, who, as you may remember, is the reigning league MVP. We'll get to him in a little bit. But Pablo, 24 hours before the draft, the 49ers were still seemingly throwing around ideas before making a decision about what to do with the most important pick they've made probably since Alex Smith.
So what was the point, Bill? What was the upside of this entire deliberate strategy for the Niners?
Creating content for a desperate internet. I mean, there's...
Which we appreciate, I suppose.
We
but
do,
still.
Yes. Like, thank you, Kyle Shanahan, to be clear. But, I mean, I've heard all kinds of rumors, I suppose, about what happened and why the Niners weren't more committed to one player with the third pick. I know they've come out and said Trey Lance was our guy all along. I've certainly heard things to the contrary. My best guess, if I had to come up with a logical reason for why they were so weird about this entire thing,
yes,
involves the Jets with the second overall pick. Mm. Now, as you may remember, Jets hired virtually all of their new coaching staff from the 49ers organization. That includes head coach Robert Saleh and offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur. When the 49ers made their trade up to three, we had a sense that they knew the Jets were taking Zach Wilson at two. Now, maybe the Jets were totally committed to Zach Wilson, but I wonder if the Niners were at least a little concerned that any sort of public declaration for Trey Lance would have encouraged the Jets, who, by the way, are going to run the same offense as the 49ers, to bail on their plans and take the quarterback their former mentor preferred.
I never thought about the 49er organizational incest leading to a desire to outsmart the Jets as a logical explanation, but that actually does approach something resembling reason, Bill.
I'll take it.
But now, what can reasonably happen with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, if you own a Jimmy Garoppolo 49ers jersey, this was a good night for you. Because if the Niners had drafted Mac Jones, I think Jimmy Garoppolo was as good as gone. But now that Trey Lance is there, it might be a different story. The Niners can afford to keep Garoppolo on the roster if they're so inclined. He's owed $25 million in compensation, but it's unguaranteed. So the Niners would only have to pay him if Garoppolo is still on the roster for week one. Keeping Garoppolo on the roster through training camp would be risky in terms of trade value. Garoppolo also has a no-trade clause, which would allow him to veto a situation if it wasn't to his liking. If the 49ers want to move forward with Lance as their starter and they don't have a landing spot for Garoppolo by the end of August, they would likely have to cut him without getting any compensation in return. But if the 49ers believe that Lance needs time to redshirt given his lack of experience, retaining Garoppolo suddenly makes more sense. Lance would give the 49ers a backup with some upside if Garoppolo were to get injured again, but that's a very expensive insurance policy.
And now, Bill, it does seem like the market for Jimmy G is smaller than it was at like 8 p.m. or whenever it was that Kings of Leon stopped playing someone like you, which feels like a darkly appropriate metaphor for what's happening to Jimmy G now. So what is going to happen with that?
Honestly, of all the places Garoppolo might want to try at this point, a lot of them aren't looking for a quarterback anymore. We're going to talk about some of these, but the Patriots presumably closed the door on a reunion with Jimmy G when they drafted Mac Jones. The Bears traded up for Justin Fields. The Panthers traded for Sam Darnold. The Broncos could be getting Aaron Rodgers. At this point, the 49ers might prefer to hold on to Garoppolo in the hopes they can get more for him in 2022, by which point his no-trade clause will have expired.
All right, Bill. So after the break, I have many more questions about Mac Jones and Justin Fields, and I need to understand what exactly is happening with Aaron Rodgers.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So So, Bill, how did we get here with Aaron Rodgers? Like, I know his relationship with Packers management has been riddled with dysfunction, with passive aggression, a lot of which was on display pretty clearly while Aaron Rodgers was hosting Jeopardy. But what in your mind was the clear breaking point here?
I'm not sure if there was a breaking point as much as there was just a point from which things started to spiral in a strange way. I mean, it goes back to last year's NFL draft and the reality we've learned, which is drafting a quarterback can be a lot more dangerous than it seems. Taking Jalen Hurts eventually led the Eagles to trade Carson Wentz. And it seems like drafting Jordan Love in the first round last year might cause the Packers to break up with their three-time MVP. I mean, pretty much everything the Packers have done over the last 2 years in terms of personnel, whether it was drafting Love, not adding help at receiver last year, or losing center Corey Linsley in free agency this year, everything they've done has seemingly irritated Aaron Rodgers, perhaps fairly so. But the strange thing about all this, Pablo, is it's not like Aaron Rodgers had a Carson Wentz-esque season this year.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers responded to these frustrations by raising his game dramatically and winning his third MVP award. The Packers came within one or two questionable calls in the NFC Championship game of making it to the Super Bowl. As far as toxic relationships go, this one's pretty successful right now.
I mean, it would have even been brilliant if this was a sustainable motivational technique. It just seems, Bill, like there is a limit on how long this dynamic can last. And the dynamic, by the way, like, has really never existed. We've never had a defending MVP get traded the season after he wins the award.
We've certainly never had a situation where a guy came into the season really mad at his team, won MVP, and then kept being mad at his team and then got traded. But the reality is that Rodgers' MVP season just didn't do much in terms of securing his future with the Packers. He's in the same exact situation he was a year ago, except he's a year further along on his contract. He has 3 years and $73 million remaining on his deal. That's well below market value for quarterbacks at this point. Rodgers also doesn't have a no-trade clause. While lesser quarterbacks, perhaps, like Russell Wilson or Jimmy Garoppolo, do. Now, Rodgers could alleviate all those concerns I mentioned by just signing an extension with the Packers. But whether he's just over the organization or didn't get an offer worth signing, our Adam Schefter reported that Rodgers turned down an extension from the Packers this spring. Now, Rodgers might be sitting here rightfully seeing a future where the Packers want to turn things over to Jordan Love and want to deal Rodgers to a rebuilding team years away from contention. That's a really vulnerable position for a reigning MVP and a future Hall of Famer to be in. The new CBA basically prevents veterans from holding out with mandatory fines. Rodgers could threaten to retire, but he would owe the Packers more than $25 million by virtue of needing to return portions of his signing and roster bonuses. Pablo, that's a lot of episodes of Jeopardy.
So if hosting Jeopardy isn't, let's just say it's not a terribly convincing threat, although it does feel like Aaron Rodgers' camp is putting out that kind of signal in the media that that's something that he might just go and do instead. What does Rodgers do, Bill? Does he sit out anyway? How does he get the Packers to give him what he wants? How does he make a stink to the point where they actually do want to get rid of him?
I mean, he won MVP this year and doesn't seem to have changed their minds all that much. He clearly still has a lot of football left. But even if he wants to threaten them by sitting out or retiring, at least for right now, he's 37. He probably can't afford to sit out one of the few remaining years he has left. To me, this is the sort of thing you do to try and turn the court of public opinion against the Packers, to try and get the extension you want, to try and get some investment at receiver, to try and get the moves to be made that you want.
I just love, Bill, that the coda on this day, after all of this news in this very turbulent cycle, it's that the Packers still didn't take a wide receiver in the draft. They took a cornerback, Eric Stokes, at number 29, which, again, just perfect.
I mean, to be fair, they have consistently not given Aaron Rodgers what he's wanted. and they've consistently been very good at football and helped Rodgers win an MVP. So maybe you can't give Aaron Rodgers too much, is the, what the Packers have learned.
So as the Packers are contemplating a messy divorce, as they're contemplating how to make the best of that situation, Chicago Bears fans, they seem to be feeling like they're driving away from this draft with like strings of cans rattling behind a convertible driven by Justin Fields, because they got their guy, right? I mean, they got the guy that they traded up for with the New York Giants, of all teams, to take Justin Fields at number 11 overall.
Oh, boy. Pablo, let's start with the Giants side of things.
Please.
It's tough to get senior citizens to try new things. But just like just like convincing your grandmother to use Facebook for the first time, I'm excited that 70-year-old Dave Gettleman and the Giants traded down for the first time in 15 years. Now, leaving Justin Fields aside, the Giants were right to trade down and grab extra pieces for a very thin roster. By the analytics-driven Chase Stewart draft chart, the Giants added something close to the 10th overall pick in terms of value by adding those three extra selections. And that assumes that Chicago's first-round pick in 2022, which is the biggest pick they got back as part of this deal, falls in the middle of the first round. Given how inconsistent the Bears are, given the talent they lost outside of Fields this offseason, that pick could be as high as the top five. That could be a really valuable pick for Dave Gettleman. Now, he might not be here to take that pick, but that's unfortunately a lesson you have to learn about trading down. Now, as a prospect, Pablo, Justin Fields looks like a superstar. Arguments that he was a one-read quarterback and didn't advance through his progressions regularly in college just are not borne out by reality. Fields was somehow dinged in quarters during this process for running a 4.440 and threatening teams as a scrambler, as if that invalidated his ability as a pocket passer. It's fair to wonder whether the Bears have done enough to surround Fields to get the most out of his talent. Their offensive line is not very good. They don't have much at wide receiver after Allen Robinson, who is unhappy as a franchise tag player and is a free agent after this season. This coaching staff had a raw prospect in Mitch Trubisky and were not able to get the most out of the former second overall pick. Fields was a much better college quarterback than Trubisky was, but I don't think the work is done here for the Bears.
But as for the people who have to do all of that work in theory, what happens to this front office, Bill? Because they had been both unpopular and seemingly like trending to be on the way out themselves.
That's the other part of this, Pablo, is that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy suddenly have a brand new future with this organization because this pick extends their time frame. I read about this in my column for ESPN this week. But one of the reasons why coaches and GMs are so aggressive with drafting quarterbacks is that resetting at that position basically resets the clock on your job. These were two guys who might have been fired this year if they didn't make it to the playoffs. Now, instead, by adding Fields, they can credibly say they need a couple years to surround Fields with talent and evaluate what he's going to be before ownership can really evaluate them. That future first-round pick would have meant nothing to Pace and Nagy because they might not have been here to use it unless they went and got Justin Fields. Now, with all that being said, the Bears tweeting quarterback one with a photo of Andy Dalton in March seemed like a jinx at the time and has only aged worse with every passing.
Yeah, we never got the Andy Dalton era out of Photoshop, Bill, which is a sad, sad thing. But speaking of sad, I went from wanting to watch just a dedicated feed of Mac Jones in the green room after the Niners took Trey Lance. I thought that'd be fun. But then I caught a glimpse of him waiting, and I actually found that way too sad to actually watch. But then the next thing I saw was Mac Jones power walking to the stage like Vince McMahon, as if the joke was on us the entire time.
I mean, I did get to tweet out a photo of ranch dressing when the Patriots took Mac Jones with the 15th pick.
The Patriots getting Mac Jones on some cosmic level, that is perfect.
It just feels right.
Yes.
It is really what it boils down to. I mean, the situation with the Patriots drafting Mac Jones at 15 is very different from the conversations we had about Mac Jones being drafted by the Niners with a third overall pick. And the difference is what it took to get those selections. The Patriots kind of just had a boring year with Cam Newton at quarterback, which is fine. The Niners traded three first-round picks to move up to the third overall selection. It just didn't seem to make sense they would use all that draft capital to move up and take a guy who wasn't perceived to have a superstar ceiling. It just didn't seem to add up. The comparisons between Jones and former Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo were reasonable on tape. But those guys were mid-round picks with serious limitations. Mm. Taking a guy who can do the simple things well, but who probably doesn't have the ability to create magic when things break down, that didn't seem worth three first-rounders.
No.
But Jones at 15, with no trade-up involved, that's a different conversation altogether. It's going to be easy to make comparisons between Jones and a poor man's Tom Brady. Jones will get the ball out quickly. Most likely, it'll go to the right receiver. Now, granted, he probably needs to go on the same weightlifting regimen Tom Brady went on as a rookie to develop a more effective deep ball. And I want to see how effective Jones is without having mismatches at every single receiver spot on every single play for the entirety of his season. But the Patriots will really value Jones's ability to create easy completions for their offense. It wouldn't surprise me if they install Jones as their starter by the end of the preseason ahead of Cam, and he's a much more reasonable pick without the Patriots having to trade up and give away those extra assets to grab a ready-made starter at quarterback.
So as ready-made starters go, Bill, it does feel strange and arguably immoral of me to not ask you about Trevor Lawrence to like the very end of the show we're doing right now, but let's get there, because he's the number one overall pick. He's a Jacksonville Jaguar. None of that is surprising. It was the most predictable part of this entire thing, which is why I waited this long to talk about it. But what am I missing here? What do you find interesting about Trevor Lawrence that other people maybe have sort of let slip through the cracks?
So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is good. You know, like, I don't have any particularly hot take on Trevor Lawrence in terms of him not being a good quarterback or they're having some fatal flaw that we're not expecting. Trevor Lawrence is super talented and has been the obvious pick for this spot for pretty much the last 3 years. But this is a big draft class. Five quarterbacks came off the board in the first round. And when you look at the biggest quarterback classes in modern league history, the first guy off the board hasn't always been the best.
Mm.
Go back to 1983, the famous class of 83,
yeah,
with six quarterbacks in the first round. The Colts draft John Elway with the first overall pick. Now, John Elway never played for the Colts. He forced them to trade him to the Denver Broncos, and he did end up as a Hall of Famer, but so did Jim Kelly, who was the third quarterback taken, and Dan Marino, who was the sixth quarterback taken in that class. A five quarterback class in 99 saw Donovan McNabb go two, in between Tim Couch at one and Akili Smith at three. In 2018, Baker Mayfield went first ahead of future MVP Lamar Jackson, who was taken with the last pick of the first round. The Jets famously drafted Sam Darnold ahead of Buffalo's Josh Allen. In every one of these situations, Pablo, whether it was Elway getting traded to a better team, whether it was Kelly and Marino ending up in prime spots, whether it was McNabb ending up with Andy Reid, or Lamar Jackson ending up with the Baltimore Ravens, the quarterback who had the best coaching and the best players around them to fit their particular skill set succeeded. Now, the Jaguars hired Urban Meyer. They have players like Marvin Jones and DJ Chark around the first overall pick, but Lawrence isn't stepping into a slam dunk situation like Mahomes did in Kansas City or like Trey Lance is with San Francisco. He'll make the Jags better. Nobody doubts that. But his ceiling still depends on how much Jacksonville can put around Lawrence in the seasons to come.
Bill, I'm reading between the lines of what you're saying here, and what I'm getting is that the Jacksonville Jaguars need to hire new tight end Tim Tebow.
Oh, no. I actually forgot the Tim Tebow thing happened. That's how long of a day
it felt like at least 10 Kings of Leon concerts ago. Bill Barnwell, thank you for yet another late night with ESPN Daily.
Thank you, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. Special thanks this week to Garrett Lang, Max Brodsky, and Jackson Udgelo. I'll talk to you Monday.